I was reading about the lady who invented Mother's Day. We do all understand it's an invented holiday, right? I'm not anti-Mother's Day. I love Mother's Day, but I guess all the holidays were invented at some point. But she, in the remainder of her life, tried her absolute best to stamp out Mother's Day. She didn't like what it became. She didn't mean for Mother's Day to become commercialism, the retail, the restaurant industry take up on it. Like they said one time, she was in a cafe for lunch on Mother's Day Sunday, and she saw on the menu there that there was a Mother's Day salad. So she promptly ordered the Mother's Day salad, and she slung it across the room and threw it out because she was trying her absolute best to get the holiday to stop, because she had invented it as a time to actually show your love for your mothers, and it, because she loved her mother very much, and it had turned into something that it shouldn't be. So I thought that was something. I was thinking, I was writing down there all of the different mothers we would recognize, and it occurred to me, I probably don't know enough about women as I should to be the one up here DJing that part of the service, because maybe it's not best to recognize the oldest. Maybe it is. I don't know. But men, we just don't know, do we? This guy was walking out on the ocean, and this genie's lamp washed up on the beach there, and he picked it up and he rubbed it, and the genie popped out, and he said, "Listen, bub, for some reason I washed up on a touristy beach, and a lot of people have been finding me lately, and I've been giving out lots of wishes. So you're not getting three, you're just getting the one, and make it quick. I got to get out of here." The guy said, "Well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly and I'm afraid to sail. Can you make a bridge magically appear between here and Hawaii so that I can just walk or drive there?" And the genie said, "No, that's impossible. Think of the engineering and the physics that would have to go into this, and then the currents and all of the things." He said, "No, wish for something a little more realistic." And he said, "Okay, well, let me think for a minute." He said, "Well, I've always had a hard time understanding women, had a hard time relating to them and knowing what they want." And the genie said, "This is bridge. You want that four lanes or two lanes?" I want us to look in Exodus this morning at Moses' mother. It's actually three women that we find here in this story. We find Moses' mother, Moses' sister, and then we find Pharaoh's daughter. I want to begin our reading in verse 22 of chapter 1, just one verse before chapter 2 there. It says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.' And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's pray. Father, we're so glad to be able to gather today and worship you with church. Thank you for your word and this time that we have in it together. Thank you for what it teaches us about us and what it teaches us about you. And may you use this time for your glory, that the church might be edified. This we pray through Jesus' name. Amen. God always has the right place, or the right person in the right place at the right time. In the text we're reading here this morning, we can certainly say this in Moses' life. We find here the account of his birth, and later he becomes God's vessel to lead the Hebrews out of bondage. Today I'd like for us to do a character study of his mother, Jochebed. Through her story, we learn much about our God as well as how we are to act toward him. I'm going to give you three headings from this passage. Have faith, be patient, and trust God. We learned first, in the first few verses here, to have faith. So we read from verse 22. Let's back up into verse 21 of chapter 1. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. That took faith. Consider the place that we find this mother in here. She is a Hebrew slave. She's captive in Egypt. She would be expected to work long and hard. She did not have her freedom. She lived under constant fear of being beaten or killed for opposing or angering these Egyptian rulers. The conclusion of chapter 1 teaches us that for fear of being overcome by the Hebrews through population, the Pharaoh then instituted what we would call in our day abortion. Every male child was to be cast into the river. How sad. This unnamed woman here finds herself not only in these circumstances, but then she's due to deliver a child. And once the child is born, a new issue arises. It is a boy. Imagine in that time you would have been expecting a child and hoped for it to be a girl so that at least it could live and you wouldn't have to be throwing it in the river. It reminds me of all the things that mothers will endure for us. There was one family I read about who decided for Mother's Day weekend, dad and all the children are going to do all the things for mom that mom normally does for them. And about an hour into it, one of the children, you know, just old enough to talk but not old enough to have sense, said, boy, mom really does have a hard job. Mothers for sure do take in a lot for us. What is Jochebed to do here in such a situation? Well, I think she's to have faith. And we find that's exactly what she does. When someone tells you up against a wall, up against a hard situation, up against a difficult decision, when someone says to you, oh, just have faith, that doesn't always seem like the best advice. Life is hard. We are faced with a crisis. And for someone that we're sharing with to just simply say, oh, just have faith. Really, though, if we think of it, that is the best advice. By faith, what did she do? She hid this child for 3 months. Think about our faith. Faith for God's people is not a leap in the dark. When we say have faith, we're not putting it out there as if, like, I hope I win the lottery. No, our faith has a resting place. Our faith in God is faith that is good and it is solid. We know that God never asks us to do foolish things. Jochebed here does a sensible thing. She, by faith, hides the child away. And then when she can hide him no longer, she makes a little boat and she puts the baby in it and at least gives him a fighting chance. Have faith. Next, we learn in this text to be patient. Verse 3 begins by saying, and when she could no longer hide him, hiding a baby for 3 months couldn't try your patience. Well, I wouldn't know, but I'll say this. Having a baby for 3 months can try your patience. How old is Sadie Grace? How old?
5 weeks.
Oh, well, you guys aren't there yet. Trying your patience, Davy? Losing a little sleep? Yeah, great baby. All right, good answer. It's Mother's Day. Any comments, Garrett?
Not yet.
No? Can you imagine trying to hide a baby for 3 months? I mean, we don't want the baby to cry, but Usually our reasons for not wanting the baby cry are what? So we can sleep. I was wondering who was going to be honest here. Y'all all looked at me like, what am I supposed to say there? Yeah, so we can sleep. Or so we can watch the TV. It's hard to hear the Andy Griffith Show with a baby yakking. Hush that baby up. I'm busy here, lady. Can you imagine trying to hide the baby away for 3 months? That's going to require some patience. Let's read what else it says. It says she could no longer hide him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. So we have to have faith, but we're also going to have to be patient while we're having faith. And it's hardest to have faith and be patient in instances like this when we have to let go. It's a little easier when you're holding that precious thing there in your hands, but when you have to put it in this little boat you make, can you imagine Jochebed having to let this baby go? I like Miriam in this instance. There's other passages of Moses' sister that I could care less for, but here she, I like her personality, sort of spunky. She hides out and follows along. I heard a story. Is it okay if I talk about frog gigging? Okay. I guess I already did, whether you want me to or not. Miss Alma said when the boys were young, her and Brother Randy would let Nathan take his brothers frog gigging. Take Michael. Michael, you look happy about this story. But as parents do, you're not always fully trusting of the one that you put in charge there. Yesterday afternoon, I handed Henry my debit card, and I whispered to him, go to Dixon, get Mother's Day gifts while I take Mom to go do some stuff and bring them back there, you know. And as we went toward Nashville and they went toward Dixon, Henry just got his driver's license. I don't know that you'd ever driven your brothers by yourself before. I thought to myself, oh, I forgot to tell him to drive slow and to be careful and bring them back. That would be a better Mother's Day gift than the alternative there. But Miss Alma told me a great story of her and Brother Randy and, you know, Nathan, big brother, going to take his brother down on the river and go frog gigging. Who does not know what frog gigging is? Oh, man. We should have a demonstration this morning. That would have been a lot of fun. Okay, so is it the Greek god Triton? He has a spear. Okay, well, in the South, we have our own versions of this. It's like Marcel Ledbetter's spear, and it's for getting frogs. And so there are these big frogs, and you can eat the legs off the frogs. They're pretty good. They taste like fried chicken. I prefer fried chicken, but I guess if you can't get fried chicken, you get the frogs. The frogs are very fast, and sometimes it's a sport to try to take this spear with these forks on the end and you know, eco-friendly, non-painfully harvest them. So, but Ms. Alma says her and Randy would hide off in the bushes and follow the kids down the river because, you know, they might fall in, they may drown, they may come up on a snake, there might be drunks floating the river. That seems to happen around here a lot. So they, you know, they keep an eye on them there. Here's Miriam, Moses' mother. Now, she's not named here. We'll find her name in chapter 6. But Moses' mother is, she's had faith. She's been patient. But now she's going to have to let go. And she makes a little boat. And she puts some oil under it there so that it would float. She lets him go. But I like Miriam better in this scenario. She's letting go, but she's sort of putting some feet to her faith, isn't she? She's going to follow along and watch and see what happens. But can you imagine the anxiety of this situation? I mean, it's easy in church to talk in big, bold terms. Just have faith. Just be patient. But so many times there are situations in life that cause us to actually exercise our patience. It's easier said than done. James chapter 1, James wrote to believers living according to God's will, he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Times will come in life where we must have faith and we must be patient. And through these times, we learn to trust God. Verse 5. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. So this child could be hid no longer by faith. So then the faith had to be lived out. In the ultimate showing of faith, the mother lets him go. She fully trusts him to God. All she could do at this point is wait and see. It's tough and it's painful to live out the confidence that he who is for us is greater than all that may ever come against us. Now, I do want you to note that while she was being patient and while she was exercising her faith, she didn't just sit and do nothing. The rule that they were given there, verse 22 of chapter 1, was to cast him into the river. She obeyed the authorities. I don't know that they had a law that said, cast him into the river and you can't make a boat for him to float in. So she obeyed the authority that God had put over him, but I like that she literally exercised her faith. Sometimes we think faith always has to be blind faith or faith that doesn't require any planning or any action on our part, but that's not what she does at all. She in faith obeys the authorities, but she with wisdom protects the child. What might that look like in your life this week? What is it that you need to have faith and be patient with, but trust God? But you're taking a completely hands-off approach that maybe that's not what God's intended. Maybe God's intending you to kind of take a more hands-on approach in faith and trust of him. Look at the rest of the wisdom she used there. She covered the boat with a substance to waterproof it. Now, I'm doing a character study of Jochebed here this morning. We're not going to get into some of the other doctrinal things that are here, but it's not by accident that this little boat is called a what? Verse 3. An ark. And it makes us think back from Exodus back to Genesis chapter 5. Noah had an ark, and the ark makes us think of who? Jesus. All right? That's doctrine that you want to have as you go through this. I'm just kind of going past that this morning. Even Miriam got involved. By faith, she followed along to see what would happen. And verse 5 tells us what happens. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. What's that there in the grass? Verse 6, when the servants grabbed it, what did baby Moses do? He cried out. I'm going to read something into the text here. But for the first 3 months of his life, what has this child been conditioned not to do? Probably not cry out very much. I think it's just perfect timing that he cries here. Wah. It's hard to turn away a crying baby, isn't it? What happened? She had compassion on him. Now, did the Egyptians have much compassion on the Hebrews at this time? No, you're our slaves. You're multiplying quicker than you should be because you're starting to outnumber us and we're afraid you're going to take over. So all your boys that are born, kill them. And you can keep the girls so we have plenty of slaves. They have compassion toward the Hebrews. But this baby cried. She knew that he was a Hebrew baby. She said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. But she had compassion on him. Miriam steps in at that moment. Did you guys ever watch The Little Rascals? The old black and white ones, you know? Those are great. I think of The Little Rascals. They were always scheming and plotting. I think of them when I think of Miriam here. She steps up, you know. It's a sort of a Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn thing. How much would you pay me to paint this fence for me? She says, hey, you found a baby. You need a nurse? I might have a good deal for you today and today only. Miriam's sort of a used car salesman here, isn't she? She said in verse 7, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And in this moment, Jochebed's life is completely changed. Here's your big point. Don't miss this. Have faith. Be patient while you're having your faith. Let your trust rest in God. And see God completely transform your life. Over and over and over again, He will do this. What does Pharaoh's daughter say? Verse 8 and 9. She said, yeah, go, find me a maid. And so she went and she got her mom. Miriam goes and she finds the actual mom of this baby. And Pharaoh's daughter said to the mother, take this child away and nurse it for me. Can you imagine the joy that must have brought her? God, I'm letting this baby go in faith. I've hid him for 3 months. I can't hide him any longer. I'm not going to let him just drown. But I'm hopeful that you will do something here with this child. I love him. I don't want to see him go. And God just gave him right back to her. Officially. Legally. Sometimes we have a hard time obeying the authorities over us because we think, how in the world is this going to work right with my faith? Well, with God, things are possible. With men, things seem impossible at times. But with God, all things are possible. But there's more. What does the rest of verse 9 say? And I will give thee thy wages. Now, I don't know the situation here. It reads, at least in the English I'm reading here, as if they were already getting some wages in some way. But we know that they were enslaved. So I don't know if that was payment or if it was, you know, you have a place to dwell and you get something to eat. I like to think here that she went from being a slave to being a hired servant in that moment because Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll pay you, in addition to your slavery, if you'll nurse this child for me. It's possible that's not true and that she was maybe someone to carry supplies to the brick builders, brick makers. And now instead of doing that, she gets to be a nurse for this child. Either way, would you testify this morning that God completely changed her life in this moment? She had faith. She was patient. She put her trust in God. And look what God did. Do you think Jochebed in these moments had any doubts on whether or not she could trust God? I also think about Satan's plans here. It wasn't so much the Egyptians worried about the Hebrews that was causing them to kill off the males. It was the spiritual warfare going on overhead. Satan's plan was to kill off as many male children of the Hebrews. Why? He wanted to stop God's plans. He's been trying to do this all along. And God not only spoils Satan's plans, but he puts Satan's plans to work against him. You see, we think of, boy, this is great. Moses was just going to be killed and now he's saved and his mom gets to be his nurse. But was that actually what God was doing here? No. What was God at work doing here? He was getting Moses in Pharaoh's house because he knew as an adult he needed to have those relationships so that he could lead God's people out of the land. That's what God was ultimately doing. So he took what the devil meant for evil and he used it for his own good. Man, don't you love when God does that? Isn't it wonderful to think about how sovereign and providential our God is? The commentator McIntosh said, "The devil was foiled by his own weapon. Inasmuch as Pharaoh, whom he was using to frustrate the purpose of God, is used of God to nourish and bring up Moses, who was to be his instrument in confounding the power of Satan." That's wonderful. Verse 10 tells us that Pharaoh's daughter names the baby Moses. The child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moses' name means something like that, like drawn out, since she drew him out of the river. But that was significant to later in Moses' life too, because he will go on to become the one to draw God's people out of Egypt. And then I want to bring back to your memory here that this passage never names the players. I mean, we get Moses' name, but Pharaoh's daughter is just called Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' mother is just called a wife of the daughter of Levi. She's called a woman. She's called his mother. Moses' sister, her name is not given. We have to wait until chapter 6, and there's a lineage there, and we begin to get their actual names. So in this narrative, the names, I think, are purposely left out. Why? Because the focus is not on them. The focus is on God. They are simply players on God's providential stage. You know, there are times in life when we feel unknown. We feel unknown even to the very God in whom we trust. You may feel that you're anonymous in this story of your life. But here's a reminder that you're important. No matter how anonymous you may feel, we are part of God's drama of covenant and redemption. And we never know how God may use our obedience and our faithfulness for His grand purposes. Jochebed was an amazing example, not just of faith, but think of her immediate situation there. She's an amazing example of faith to her daughter Miriam during this situation. And then here's the house of Pharaoh. Anybody who knows anything about Egypt knows that they had lots of other gods, lots of odd things that they did and worshipped. And here, God enters this full of faith, full of trust, Hebrew family right into the king's household. Can you imagine the testimony this must have been? Isn't this a great study for a Mother's Day? We have some young parents here this morning. I love all the young parents here. I know you don't love that I love this, but I love watching y'all wrestle your children while I preach. It's the greatest. I remember those days. I'd be up here preaching. Sinead'd be down there wrestling. I wouldn't be helping at all. Young parent, have faith. The early days are hard and they are full of lots of new experiences. They are full of experiences that there's not a book in the world that you can read that's going to tell you how to handle them. I'll never forget when Jack and Henry were young, and Sinead was sick as a dog, and we were having church conference, and I was on staff at the church in Georgia there. And she said, you just got to go. I said, "Well, you're sick. I can't go and leave you with two children." Jack was probably 2 years old, maybe three at this point. So if he was three, Henry was a baby or one. I don't know. These were little bitty guys. And I come home and Shanae had been in the bed sick and, you know, keeping the kids the best she can. And Jack had become the big man around the house that day. Just call him 3 years old. And I walked into the bathroom there and he had tried to either change his diaper or to change Henry's diaper or something while mom was resting. And there was baby powders just everywhere. I mean, the bathroom turned white just like that. The early days are hard. The early days are full of new experiences. Have faith. Be patient. Trust God. Parents of older children, be patient. You've done all that you can, and you no longer have the control that you once had. You're going to have to be patient. And some of you have adult children. You're fully living out the trust God part of this, aren't you? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. But there is more. You and I know that the focus of Scripture is not us or Moses or Jochebed. The focus of Scripture is God. This book is a story about Him. And we can learn so much about Him here. First, He is a God who honors faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Hebrews 11:23 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." Moses' parents hid him by faith, and God honored it. He gave protection to the baby. He gave a better situation to the family. He used Moses' life extraordinarily. So I'm not just telling you this morning, have faith. I'm telling you, have faith, but know that you serve a God who honors faith. Secondly, we know that God is a God whose timing is perfect. It's one thing to say to you, be patient. But it's an entirely different thing to say to you, be patient. You serve a God with perfect timing. Do you remember when Lazarus died in the Gospels? Lazarus was Jesus' friend. In fact, when Jesus showed up on the scene there and saw that Lazarus had been buried, we got my favorite verse as a child in the Awana program at my church. Do y'all know these youth programs where you have to show up on Wednesday nights and say memory verses to get points? John 11:35. What does it say? Jesus wept. I use that one every week. Get those points. Jesus loved Lazarus. He cried. He grieved when he knew that he had died there. And I love what one of the sisters says. I can't remember if it's Mary or Martha. I'm going to guess Martha based off her personality. "You're too late. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." It's so funny that she has a statement of doubt full of faith. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She's saying here, I doubt that you can do anything now, but if you'd been here in the moment, I have faith that you could have kept him alive. But now he's already dead. So what was she saying there? There's something more final than Jesus' power. He proved that after the cross, didn't he? He conquered death. No, he wasn't late. He was right on time. For a witness to them, for the witness to those around, who he was and what he could do, he let Lazarus die. He waited till they would say in their minds, "He's for sure dead. He's already stinking. He's beginning to rot." And then he says, "Lazarus, come forth." I'm not just telling you to be patient here this morning. I'm telling you, be patient because you serve a God with timing that is perfect. Through Jochebed's patience, we learn that God's providence is greater than our planning. But if you look at those three P words there, which of the three do you typically rest more in? For me, it's planning. It's not usually patience. It's often not God's providence. But I love this story that it teaches us that with patience, we will see God's providence alongside our planning. Have faith. Be patient for God's plan in your life as well. And then finally, we learn that He's a God who can be trusted. I'm not just telling you to have trust in God and leaving it there. I'm telling you, this story tells us, the entire Bible tells you, my story tells you, your story tells you, He is a God who can be trusted. If this story cannot prove that to you, then nothing else will. This child should have been found and killed, but she's able to hide him for 3 months. I don't understand how she did it. I'm not going to tell on the mother. I won't call you out. But I love a story that one of you mothers present here today, y'all can try to figure out who, tells about when your children were younger, and people in church would say, I don't know how you do it, but your children just always sit still and quiet during church. And she said, yeah, I don't know. They're just good. They sit still and quiet during church. Now, I will tell you, they seem to always have a cough early on Sunday morning, so I give them a little medicine before we come. I don't know how she hid this child. And then we think about, no child should live in a makeshift boat on a river. This is not a good life insurance plan. But he doesn't drown. What about Pharaoh's daughter? Why didn't she act differently toward this child of a slave? There's so many variables in this story. This story could have gone horribly wrong. Yet it went just as if God would have had it to go. To teach us we serve a God who can be trusted. So have faith. Be patient. Trust God. Let's stand and pray.